Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-V-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. But I'm just one of your hosts. My name is Brandon. I can't do it without my two co-hosts. Clinton, how are you, sir?
I am phenomenal.
Wow, took a minute, but we're phenomenal.
Well, I about said the F word, and we're a family-friendly podcast.
So. Are we?
Damn right.
I said, fuck that, I'm going to say phenomenal.
Emmy, how are you doing?
I am betrayed.
You're betrayed? Well, that's weird.
Betrothed.
That's a weird coincidence, because that's what we're reviewing today.
What? Wow. It's almost like I knew.
Episode 3 of Secret Invasion, Betrayed. You know who would not betray us, though? Tyler Calhoun. Because he's joined our Patreon. He's our newest patron! Tyler! Welcome!
Welcome to the shit show.
Necesito traer la vasa a la mesa, por favor.
What?
Como estás muy bien?
I need you to bring the cup to the table, I think, please.
Okay.
Well, I slowed down on my Duolingo.
All right. Well, I couldn't tell when you ramped up or when you slowed down. I just, the quality was about the
more
same
like
every
Duoling,
time.
No.
Well, Tyler.
Welcome. Bienvenidos, nonetheless.
Thank you so much, Tyler, for supporting the show. Guys, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have $1, $3, and $5 tiers available. If you want a shout out, access to our Discord, or exclusive episodes not found anywhere else, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Help support the show. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Tyler. Guys, it is episode 3. It is Betrayed. And we're here. It's Secret Invasion time, guys. So before we jump in, spoiler alert ahead. Here's your spoilers. We are going to jump right in. We're going to just dig in and we're going to spoil it. So don't listen any further, okay? Stop. Don't come to this podcast for a non-spoiler section. You ain't going to get it. We're just going to spoil it right away, all right? Okay, we're good? All right. I'm going to start with Spider-Man. Spider-Man, I need you to do your thoughts on... Don't act surprised.
Spider-Man.
What are you going for?
Me?
No, the other one with strings all over his face.
Listen, I'm my own guy. I'm Seaman.
Seaman. Yeah. All right.
Seaman.
All right, Seaman. All right, Seaman. What was your thoughts on episode 3, Betrayed of Secret Invasion?
This episode was a little slower, but I still liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I lost the string.
Yeah, some white stuff hanging from your face now.
No, I liked it a lot. The thing about this show is I'm not here for the action. Mm. Like, I like action, of course, but the story has kept me engaged the entire time. So this one made me feel like, what was that show that did that all the time? What was the famous show that like, Game of Thrones. Duh. I feel like main characters just aren't safe.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter. And I love that in a show. That's not afraid to like, oh, well, they might die. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
On top of like the guessing work you have to do in this show. But you never know who they're going to off.
Yeah.
It just feels like it was slower, but it's still a great episode, in my opinion. We learn a lot. We lose a lot. And secrets revealed on a lot of questions we had from last week.
Yeah.
So we learned that
Fury be
fucking a Skrull.
Fury be fucking a Skrull. Yep.
And Rhodey's a Skrull. So
you think it's 100% Rhodey's a Skrull after that phone call?
Yes. I think that was Rhodey.
I know it's Rhodey, but do you think 100% he's a Skrull? Like there's
well, he's in the bed with Gravel Face.
The thing?
Taser Face.
Taser Face.
Gravik. Is that his name?
It is Gravik.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good deal. I'll go next real quick. I agree. It was a little bit of a slower episode, but the dialogue kept me going. Halfway through this series, I'm a fan. Yeah, I feel like we've slowed down the tone a little bit, especially since the first episode. but not slowed down the meaning of every single moment or interaction. There was a lot between Talos and Fury this episode.
So good.
And their dynamic and their relationship and kind of the misunderstanding. They remind me of just two bickering friends. That, you know, like, hey, you motherfucker, you think it's all the... I was like, man, if Clinton and
like
I...
Like us.
Yes, yeah, me too. I was going to say that. Me and Brandon.
I was going to
say... Oh, exile, fuck me.
Sorry.
Yeah, man. You're Gaia in this episode. Oh,
my God. Damn.
Oh, my God. But no, I really was like...
you try to get in there, like, you're doing some some work to, like, help us, but, like, at the end of the day...
That's so mean.
Talos and Fury riding.
And yeah, okay, cool. I guess you're not getting your paycheck this month.
But I really didn't think of it. I was like,
I kid, I kid.
Yeah, no, to see, yeah, change, better kid. Change that tone right then. Yeah,
you're more like Fury's wife.
I don't know that that's better.
I don't think it is. but no, I really was thinking, no offense, I really was thinking, God, if Clinton and I were like, when we bicker, we kind of get like this. Like, we're kind of like, you motherfucker, you don't think it's this. Like,
it's serious, yes. It's like a personal, yeah. You take everything as personal. So we're like, oh
okay. Okay, this okay. Bitch really want to go. And like, they really did over and over. I was like, God, this is kind of how Clinton and I are when we're at each other. But it was just funny because it's still a great series. I still believe this friendship. I believe this longstanding friendship between these two. I also love Fury just being a badass where he just shoots him. He's like, next time I'm going to shoot higher or lower. It's like, wait, what?
This show is very much an adult show.
It is.
Like. It's the most adult MCU show we've had.
I agree.
Moon Knight?
No.
I would probably say this one a little bit more, honestly. I love Moon Knight, though. Moon Knight's a fucking great show.
I do love Moon Knight.
So, both of those being in the same vein, I think it's a great thing. I think we need more adult MCU content. Please, Daredevil Born Again. Please, Deadpool 3. Let's get some real good adult stuff that really... I want to see Daredevil be TVMA. I want to see Deadpool 3 be rated R. I think they're going to be, or at least Deadpool's going to be. So either way, I'm still highly invested in this series. I'm really, really enjoying it. Did get a little misogynist between Talos and Gravik when it was like, you keep my daughter's name out of your mouth, I'm gonna cut you. It was a little bit like a, and then he like choked him. And it was a little awkward too. It didn't feel like a full choke. It felt like he was just kind of touching his neck. And I don't know. That was maybe just
a little erotic.
It was a little. I got turned on. I don't know why.
I got turned on when he stabbed his hand. That was my.
That's your king. Oh fuck! You made me do it, you bastard.
Yes.
Score one for Whitney. But like, I don't know. I really, really liked it. I'm rambling at this point. Great show. Halfway through, thumbs up. I'm really, really enjoying myself. Amy, what'd you think?
I agree that this was a bit of a lull, in my opinion. But I still really enjoyed it. The mid-ending for me was very spy formulaic. Like, oh, we got to find the password so that we can stop the intermittent disaster. And, oh, God, oh, how are we going to find the pass? It seemed... very James Bondy, Austin Powersy, like formula y.
That's okay if that with makes me, sense. Though.
I like I said, I still really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It was very.
What a shit password, Zachary! Come on.
Now. Yeah, yeah. That too. Also,
yeah.
As well, was like.
You were let down by the passcode.
Yeah.
Only Emmy would be like, that passcode pissed me off. I wasn't a fan of it.
Which, like, National Treasure. We watched that not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Don't say National Treasure was better than this. Don't you do it.
No, I'm not saying that National Treasure was, but they had a better password. I forgot what it was, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well... that sounds great. So we all thought it was a little lullish, but we also really liked it.
I didn't say lull. I said it was slower.
Okay. And I agree.
I think lull and kind of insinuates negativity with it. I did not think bad of this episode.
All right. I liked it.
It's the connotation of the word.
I actually like that it did have a slowdown,
mm-hmm.
and I still enjoyed it because it's not relying on that. Like, oh, groundbreaking, crazy action or weird stuff. Like, it shows that the story is worth watching. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Yeah. Good deal. Well,
so we don't say lol in this house.
We do.
Well, we say lol in this house, and I say lull. And even though it does have a bit of a negative connotation, mm-hmm, I would still say lully. It was lullish, lullesque.
It's a lousy way to say it. It's all okay. Yeah.
Guys. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes have let me down quite a bit, and we're going episode by episode, and it seems like it just gets shittier and shittier. So I'm going to say like 58% is where we're at with Rotten Tomatoes now.
I'm going to say 69.
I don't know why, but I just got really
hard.
OMW, Brandon.
On my way. All right, Amy, what's Rotten Tomatoes?
All right, so critics stay the same.
Okay.
At 63%. Audiences went down 2% to 72%. IMDb rated this specific episode a 7.6.
That's good.
However,
for them,
as overall, it went down 1/10 of a point.
I don't know how they've gotten better every episode. Every episode they've gotten better, but their whole score has gone down. It makes no mathematical sense, Amy.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I agree.
Okay, sorry. I'm just venting about IMDb scoring.
But it must not be just like a straight average. It can't be.
But then what is it? Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, they must be rating it as a show overall, just like I'm going to rate it against Cocaine Bear as a show overall.
So through
and then half, they're also
halfway through Secret Invasion. Was it better than halfway through Cocaine Bear?
Oh man, they're such different beasts.
Yeah, but it's your scale, Amy. That's what you
get. It is my scale.
Yeah. Oh, she's thinking.
I think that Secret Invasion right now would just barely edge out Cocaine Bear.
Okay.
At this point, just because I do enjoy the speculation and the
guessing game.
Yeah, the conversation that it's started around it. Google users stayed the same at 74% of Google users liking this. And I need to follow up from last week. The most expensive Brioni suit is the Midnight Blue, and it is $12,200.
That's ridiculous.
For a suit. I said suit, not boat.
Honey, where is my Super Scrolls? All right, so we are going to jump in. Guys, I want to start kind of at the top with Nick Fury and his wife. I mean, here is something that's kind of been kept from us for a while. He is aware. I love this flashback scene. And I love she's like, I don't work for you, so that means we can fuck. We can fuck. And he's like, I do like that, as he sips his coffee.
That's loophole.
Interesting. Interesting possibilities.
Yeah. Nick Fury fucks. We confirmed it. He fucks aliens. I love it. So anyway.
He's getting that scrussy. just based on the previously on, I already knew that I was wrong from last episode when I said that he didn't know she was a Skrull.
And someone reached out to me too, like you could hear her, and like she is, like it's the same person that was like introduced Gravik to him.
I was so pissed that I didn't bring that up, because that was something I had in my head. Mm-hmm. I almost said that I took a note on, but it was in my brain that I was going to bring up. Like, could this be the woman that brought Gravik to him?
And someone brought that to our attention after we recorded, and that's when I saw it. It was really pretty quickly after our podcast dropped. Someone sent it to us, and I was like, son of a bitch, they're right. And it was, and they were confirmed. It was exactly right.
Yeah. And had I just watched the episode over again, I think I would have caught it, because just in that previously on, when they showed her bringing Gravik and her in the kitchen before she changes into his wife, it was like, yeah, 100%, that's the same Skrull. Like, I can tell them now. But yeah,
this might sound misogynistic, and I'm really not trying to. Please, please, please forgive me. This is coming from an innocent, I promise you. But like, I was thinking, well, why would she turn into like a human form? But I almost think of it too, like when, like, for example, a guy shaves his beard for his wife to look more presentable, or why a woman wears makeup, like when they're going out. It's almost like sometimes, hey, I know you prefer that I look a little bit cleaner, so this is it. Or maybe, hey, you're attracted to my human form, so I'm going to be, I don't know. Like, it still feels weird that she is a Skrull and she transforms for him. But a part of me is like, I'm justifying it, because I'm like, oh, it's like, you know, trimming your beard or wearing makeup. But then I'm like, but that's who you really are. And does she show herself as that to him more often, or does she completely just changed.
But they met in that form. So
met in scroll form. And then she changed. He even goes, like, he was shocked that she looked like that. She's like, you think I'm beautiful? You know, you think I'm beautiful?
Do you like it?
I did like, to your point, that they added where she said, I agree. Like, I also think that this form is beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I that kind of added some.
It helped me. Like, I was wrestling with it for a minute, and then I liked that. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't think.
But at least they added that.
I don't think it's that deep. Have you seen the Skrulls? They're ugly as fuck.
We're Skrulls.
To you.
Let's. Come on.
We're Skrulls. Look at our podcast artwork.
Listen, we're humans, and our brains are programmed to be attracted to humans. I don't know that I would be attracted to you as a Skrull. I'm sorry.
Wow, Clint. You shallow motherfucker.
Is that shallow?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
I don't think that makes me anything. Like, come on.
It does.
No. Okay.
It's not, we don't have to go down this rabbit
hole. We're going down this rabbit hole. Yeah.
But okay. So same point, kind of. I shave my legs and my armpits sometimes whenever the fuck I feel like it, because that's what
a human,
because that's what society has told me.
I think
we're
trying to make it bigger than it is. I think
but if it makes me feel better to not do that, I don't. Listen. I haven't in a minute.
Hey, it's a forest down there, folks. All right, so
I said my legs and my armpits. I wasn't even
down there in the legs. Oh, your legs are legs. Your lower extremities, Emmy. Come on now.
Yeah,
get your head out.
No, I'm not. I'm done trying to impress anybody with my landscaping in the in the Pikachu area.
Okay. All right, guys, we're gonna move on. But
you get it as is. A la mode.
But there was this argument between Nick Fury and his wife at the beginning of the episode. And I really, first off, I love the argument. Then I hate that they just like kissed right after her phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no big thing. I'm like, ooh, I don't, Renee and I having that conversation, we ain't kissing right away. Like, we're not. Yeah. And
it's been time though. It's been time.
That's true. But she really like hit him like, dude, I was a widow. And then you came back, and then you chose to leave afterward. And she even harps on that. Like, you chose to leave a second time.
Good writing again.
Great writing. I just didn't like afterwards where she's like, love you.
Blue balls.
Yeah. What?
But this happens with Fury. He's so closed off and has so many walls. And we see it here. We see it later in the episode with Talos. Because Talos gets some meaningful shit, even in a humorous way.
Mm-hmm.
And Fury's just like, are you done? Like, he don't, it's like he's got this barrier up that he won't acknowledge.
And he's almost even being shit on for his actions, which, I mean.
Accountability, man. Sometimes you gotta be called out, especially with people close to you. Like,
Talos calls his ass out. His wife calls his ass out. Like, really, they call him out.
He needs it.
Oh, I agree.
But have you guys ever been in the situation, though, where it's like, one more thing is gonna break the camel's back? Like, I can admit that I was wrong here. I can admit that I was wrong here, but like, I can't, I just can't handle any more of people coming at me and saying I'm wrong.
Yes,
and I think that's kind of where he's at.
I think that's a withdrawal of acknowledgement. Like, you're not acknowledging your actions. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts and it's like, I can't handle it, but you're not doing anything about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not remedying the situation with anyone. Some point, need that thing to break the camel's back, so you do break and go, okay, I fucked up, and you feel that.
That's a really good point, because
he's not doing anything about any of the hurt that he's caused. He's only putting up that wall. And I see what you're saying.
When she gets a phone call, that's what he focuses on, not all the words she said and all the things she which are accurate, they're not wrong, and all he's like, well, who's that, or blah blah blah, and you know, he lets it go pretty quickly, but still he doesn't address the two instances she's talking about. Like, 5 years away with a blip is a lot to take on. And you being back, you didn't have a choice there, but it's still not fair to her. She's dealt with that for 5 years. That's still.
And she says, after I got over the heartbreak, because it's one thing to not move on. Like, 5 years is a long time. You may grieve for a 2 years and then move on. Mm-hmm. She didn't. She grieved the whole time and hurt and got past the heartbreak, she says, right? And then he shows back up and she's like, oh, you know, and then he leaves voluntarily. That's like,
that's fucked.
Salt in the wound.
That's
so
fucked, man.
And then, like you said, he finds a way to divert, right, with the phone call. Mm-hmm. The thing with Talos, it happens. He goes on his rant and he's like, are you done? We're here. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. he diverts to, like, we're here for the mission. We're here. We've arrived. Like,
if it's not,
I'm not going to acknowledge any.
What I've learned about Fury, at least in these little instances, and we all have our flaws. It's Fury, unless it's serving him, he doesn't really care to acknowledge it too much. When he has been confronted with really big, hey, you need to address this. You need to look at yourself in the mirror. He looks away really quick. It's usually, how can you help me? What can you assist? I'm not saying that that's the way he's with his wife all the time, but it immediately goes to, well, who's that on the phone? Like, you need to tell me something. Like, when it's Talos, like, well, are we here yet? Or we need to do this. You know, he immediately changes it to the task at hand rather than the emotional response that he's, mm-hmm. that someone else is needing from him. He, it's a very interesting character dynamic that I'm enjoying watching.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And even because I feel like the closest person that he had to him was
Hugh Hill.
Yeah.
And like even her, I feel like he had her at arm's length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, especially in that last scene before in the first episode, whenever she's talking to him about how he was blipped and was like, I don't know. It was good writing.
And Talos,
I can't remember what exactly she says, but she calls his ass out on it.
I think she would have done anything for him at the drop of a bullet. You know,
oh, well, yeah.
Her mom says that. He would. Oh, wow. Clinton, you son of a bitch. You're such a dick.
I love that y'all just kept going. Yeah, God, yeah. Like,
God, you're an ass. Anyway, but there's also the point where Talos says that much. He's like, unless I'm, what are you here for? Like, when he comes back to the bar and he's like, or, you know, he's like, I know you're not here to have tea with me. I know you're not here to hang out. You need something. And unfortunately, Talos is proven right. He mm-hmm. is there for something. And Talos is even acknowledging that. Like, unless you need something for me, man, you never just, mm-hmm. hey, how are you? You're doing okay. And so that's got to hurt because you can tell Talos and Fury, they have a close friendship bond. You can hear it during their banter, their conversations, their arguments. You can hear it. But Talos is still right. Unless you needed something, you weren't going to be here. So what do you need?
He feels used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's not wrong.
But I feel like Fury feels used as well, because in the last episode,
Fury feels betrayed. He feels betrayed.
But when they're on the train, he's like, you could have called me. You could have told me this shit. You didn't want to because you knew I'd be pissed about it. Talking about how there's mm-hmm. a million Skrulls on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Both, yeah. They're both butthurt. And sometimes bros just need to hug it out, man. God damn.
Well said, Emmy. Well said, Emmy. That's what this episode should have been. Episode 4, Secret Invasion. Bros hug it out.
Bros hug it the fuck out, man. Yeah. In 1998?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So in 1998, when Fury meets his wife,
her name's Vasa or Voss, something like that. Starts with a V.
Vagisil.
Vara. Samsonite.
Yeah, I was way off. Knew it started with a V, though.
Vara is her name.
Oh, okay.
And then I think she goes by Priscilla or Scylla in human form, which is odd to me that she changes her name. But anyway, they have a whole exchange about Dracov's men.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what Dracov is from?
Dracov? Harry Potter?
Don't tell me.
No.
Dracov's daughter. Don't tell me. Oh my God, I've heard it. I can hear Marvel Studios. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Dracov's star. Hold on, don't tell me.
You just said it.
Dracov remind me of Harry Potter for?
Clinton, hold on. I'm trying to figure this out. Dracov's daughter. Oh, is that Loki talking to Black Widow?
Yes, yes, yes.
Holy shit, the first Avengers. That's awesome.
But that's also the guy's name that she breaks her nose in front of, oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, Black Widow spoilers.
Black Widow.
Yeah.
Like, that's Dracov.
That's awesome.
And I'm pretty sure that Black Widow, when you first see Black Widow, it's set in, like, 1994, 1995, whenever they're fleeing.
Mm-hmm. That's like that awesome.
First scene. Yeah.
I could I heard that quote and I've watched Avengers 500 times. So when you I just kept hearing that in my head. I was like, I know I've heard this in the MCU.
I was really proud of you because I said Dracov's men and you said Dracov's daughter.
I'm thinking of Draco Malfoy. My dumbass.
Damn, yeah, that is dumb.
Yeah.
Draco and Dracov, come on. Not that far.
Why don't you jerk off, honestly?
Y'all can kiss my tooth.
All right. So, Emmy, go on. Sorry.
This is a stupid small nitpick for me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to bring it up because I have to, because I am who I am.
Yes, I love these.
In the Fury house, they organize their books by color. And while absolutely aesthetically pleasing, I love it. But it makes no fucking sense.
Chronologically.
I'm hearing you don't like color.
No, I'm fine with color. I think it looks beautiful.
Ah, okay.
But I don't think I could do that with my books. I have them organized by these are the ones that I like to read over and over again. These are the Harry Potter books, obviously, are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You can't
do it by color. You can't do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you knew this, but people are different. Whoa.
I know. It ticks me off. But it shouldn't tick me off because honestly,
it's the way I have my action figures. Is the way I have my action figures.
It looks pretty.
Does it bother you, Emmy, how I have Marvel over here and DC over here? Does that bother you?
No, that makes sense. Oh. But if you were to organize them by color, that would be psychotic.
No, I think it sounds like some internal things you should look at, maybe. I don't know. Just guessing.
Probably.
All the red figures go here. All the blue figures go here.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. It that's kinda, crazy pants.
I can kind of
not with books.
Saying. What do you mean not with books?
It's the same.
I think it would give a vibe, right? I think it's aesthetically.
It does. It's very pretty.
Okay. That's probably what they were going for.
Crazy. I noticed that in the background and I hated that I noticed it.
If you hear that nitpick, if you hear that nitpick on any other show, let us know, because I'm gonna call it out. We're the only ones that will say this.
She had it was they didn't allow red books in the house. Like it was only a shelf of blue and yellow.
Some would say
41.
The way you're allowed to sit or do things at your house when I visit is psychotic.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I would say that. Yeah.
Psychotic probably. Works in different ways. Sometimes it's the arrangement of books. Sometimes it's if you have this thing to sit on when you're sitting in the chairs outside.
I don't know. Maybe tonight I'm gonna go crazy and I'm gonna reorganize all the books in my house.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right.
I call such bullshit. You are so particular. I mean, I would call. You seem like you keep everything in the same spot that it's always been for 10 years. Like you don't change anything. Like you have never moved your couch since you placed it in the same spot when you moved in.
No, and I will not move it until I move it when I move out of
That's
here.
That's exactly what
and
I mean.
And it will be embarrassing the number of hair ties, puzzle pieces, and cat.
You know
hair
you can move it to that. Bitch. You can move it to vacuum. You don't have to move it permanently to do that.
No.
Okay.
That sounds if like I use a paper towel. She loses her fucking mind. Even though she has them at her house. If I use one to dry my hands, it's a problem.
The fuck you doing, Glenn?
I just say, hey, there's a dish rag there.
Well,
you can use that.
We'll get to dish rags in a moment. We are going to switch gears to the Gravik Talos conversation.
Oh my God.
Now,
real quick, before we go there, though.
Before we go there.
Vara has a not iPhone, therefore is bad.
Oh, I thought that too.
Have this thought process.
You were the one that said all this for the longest time, Clinton.
Well, back in the day, but there's been things that have disproven that since.
Ah, okay. So iPhone.
Like what? Name one.
I don't know, but there's been things I've seen that it's not that way.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. New theory. She has flip phone. She has a flip phone. Therefore, she bad.
If it is a Galaxy Z Flip, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A Z Flip 1, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, come on.
Yeah, you had one of those.
Yeah, but I had like the third gen. So like this one was really just shitty.
Gotcha.
And that's when you had your villain era. Was when you had the flip phone.
Hey, iPhone people, kiss my ass. All of you.
Hey, iPhone people, Emmy and I are iPhone people. You're good. You're good people. All right. But Clinton, he's a Z Flip. He's a
lot of people that had the theory that Rhodey was a Skrull. Even a coworker brought it up to me that Rhodey's a Skrull because he was using not an iPhone.
See, we're all thinking about mobile devices when we're trying
he was using not an iPhone.
I think he's a Skrull, but I don't think because he was using.
I want to get to that.
iPhone. Who is using an iPhone in this series? Anybody? I don't feel like anybody is.
Well, some of them are burners. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
I'm not a very
Gaia
good drug
was a
dealer.
Good person, and she using the fucking Nokia from 1995.
Because it's a burner. You don't get an iPhone as a burner, man.
Captain
Come on.
America.
They have the SEs. They're cheaper.
Okay. Well, okay. To go back, though, I want to.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I want to talk about that Talos and Gravik scene. Now, I do think it was a little. Let me put my hand around your neck and let me caress you softly. I don't know. Some parts, I guess, it was a little weird for me. Maybe I need to watch it again. I've watched this one time. Maybe I didn't feel the impact. But the dialogue, I felt the impact. I felt the, like, and Gravik. The more I hear him talk, the more I love this guy. Like, he feels sinister. Not in a good way, but like I love like the bad guy. I'm like, I'm rooting for Gravik, but in a way of I believe what you're fucking saying.
The
like,
smooth bad guy.
Yeah.
He's like confident in what he's saying.
Yes, that's
I
exactly.
Like it.
I put down. He's that confident scary.
I like it.
Yeah. He's that I'm not gonna fucking lose scary.
Yes, and
that like I don't care to kill people. He'll tell you like, up front. Like yeah people. I'm gonna kill.
Well, we saw it with Gaia, which we'll get to in just a moment. But this conversation. Between him and Talos, he's sinister, he's sadistic, and he's calm. And that is the scariest fucking thing.
Calm.
And confident, yeah. What you guys said. I like what you said about confidence. He's very confident in that. And his conversation the whole time, and Talos was like, don't you fucking say that name again. Don't you fucking bring it up. And he
Will Smith them.
It's what I was about to say.
Will Smith them in a heartbeat. Man, Chris Rock was like,
daughter's name out your fucking mouth.
Keep my motherfucking daughter's name out your motherfucking mouth. Robin.
I don't know that there were that many motherfuckers.
I'm sorry. It sounds good to me. I like it. So,
I feel like Talos and Fury are dealing with kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So Fury's seen as like washed up, older, done with his prime with S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. And then Talos is that in the Skrull community as well.
That's a really good parallel. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Really strong.
I think neither are taken seriously within their communities.
I like that. I really like that. I think that's really strong.
Yeah.
But there's a point too where it just comes from push to shove. Basically, Gravik's like, I'm starting World War III. I'm ending the human race as we know it. Who gives a shit? They kill each other in droves all the time. I'm just
honestly kudos, Gravik.
Don't say that. He speaks.
No, yeah, you need to calm down. Calm the fuck down.
But he's basically, I'm speeding up what's inevitable, is what he's saying. And Talos really, basically, Talos doesn't snap at that. He snaps at, like, Gaia again. And he stabs him, and holy shit, and we see Extremis heal his hand while, shades to Iron Man 3 in AIM. We see the Extremis, and I'm assuming that's what it is because it looked very similar to that, and we had that in the previous episode. So, heals himself completely. That's terrifying. Also, in a point where he like tries to hurt Gravik the first time, everyone stands up, and it's Gravik, and then they all go back to their other selves. That was kind of creepy too. I liked it.
I was pissed because that was in the trailer.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
The trailer showed so many. I just watched one of them, and it showed many things that were would have been awesome to watch.
I was absolutely sure that that's when Gravik grooted out too and did his groot arm.
And that's in the trailer too. Like they just showed, so we know that's going to happen.
Right.
But we know at this point he's already got the powers, obviously.
Well, he's got a power. We don't know if he's got powers. Mm-hmm.
I think he's got powers because I feel like the part of the comic they are following is the Super Skrulls. It wasn't like each Skrull got a power. they can mimic
one scroll
multiple powers at once.
Oh,
so they could be the things like rock arm and then like Human Torch's fire. Like they can do the same shit at the same time.
So if we're basing it on the four that we saw in the last episode, so we had Extremis, Groot, it was Cull Obsidian was one. What the hell is Cull Obsidian's powder? What is his powder? what kind of baby powder does he like?
He likes baking and baby. So it depends on the depends on what you're what he's
made out of real baby.
Real baby powder. that's Thanos' favorite powder. Oh, he just
he
snapped all the babies. Oh my gosh, he snapped them all away. They're all baby powder. Someone had to make that joke. Someone had to make that joke when the babies got snapped. Oh yeah, and turned into little Sue turned into baby powder. You know.
My gosh, Frost Beast was the other one, but. So does he have all of those powers?
We don't know yet, but I'm assuming he has those. Yeah. Yes, because I think that's why they showed it, and he's wanting to share that with the other members of the council.
Honey,
that we saw.
Where is my super scroll? I'm sorry, I'm going to make that joke 500 times. It's perfect. It's so fucking perfect.
But what is the power that Cull Obsidian had?
I don't know. Cull Obsidian. Base guy.
He was just big. Like he was like the Hulk.
He's like the Hulk
of aliens. Yeah, of Thanos' children. He was just like,
but like he didn't like shrink down into a
no
normal sized person.
No, but still, he was just big and
probably brute strength.
Yeah,
honestly,
maybe. Okay.
I like that. That's a really good, just quick answer. So,
yeah, I like that answer. I'll be down with that.
I'll allow it
because we saw what's his name?
Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw. He was like mind fucking everybody.
Mm.
And then
Cull
Obsidian
like
was like, rah, you know?
Do you like a good mind fuck? He gets stabbed in the hand with a butter knife. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
That's a sharp ass butter knife.
The scrolls have strength. Like they're strong.
They're not that strong if they got stabbed with a butter knife right through the hand.
Have you felt that tissue between your fingers right here, between the bones? If you can nail that perfectly, I can get a fucking butter knife.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Stop. No. Stop. Yeah, Brandon, I'm with you, man.
Stop talking.
Ugh. You bunch of snowflake.
Is it winter time? Because it's a snowy little flaky town in here, you bitches.
Yeah, I could butter knife that shit all day.
Could you please stop?
It would be the aim that would be hard.
Shut the fuck up. Really you're making me like, I want to like, stop.
Also, this really showed kind of like it did the other episode. Like this is stuff they've not shown before in Disney Plus shows. Like mm-hmm. they made it a point to zoom back to the hand with the blood on the table.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It was so
Which
good.
I feel like when I said Moon Knight was adult, I feel like some of the humor, not humor, but like some of the
it dealt
conversation
with dark themes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but this conversation, like when Nick Fury's like, or I'll aim lower and like pointed the gun at his dick, like that was more adult humor.
Yeah.
We've never had someone
humor.
No one has talked about aiming a gun at a dick in an MCU show or movie yet. And I'm happy to say this happened. So it's great.
Yeah. But Moon Knight, I feel like was more graphic. As graphic. There was some bloody ass shit in there.
I think Moon Knight dealt with more adult themes.
Yeah,
darker themes in there, like with mental health and things
it's
like that.
It's weird. I think it's adult themes, just different sides of the coin, but I still think they're
That's
all
what I'm
adult.
Saying.
Yeah. I feel
Moon Knight's like, I have a mental disorder. Secret Invasions, I'll shoot your dick off. So that I mean
both adult for different reasons.
There's one point when I can't remember any names right now. There's one point when he wakes up and he's got a bloody scarab in his hand because he murdered the guy that had it before him.
Yeah, but it didn't show like the cutting off the finger stabbing the thing in his hand. Like,
I see. I still feel like it was pretty adult.
I feel like Samuel Jackson's producing hand in this has made a difference
in a good way.
And in a good way, 100%.
Yeah,
and I hope Marvel's paying attention.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
my coworker, Jesse, my manager, actually brought up to me, like, and maybe we've said it before, but Marvel needs to realize that even if they're trying to target a younger audience, the MCU, the cinematic universe we've been watching, the people that watched it from the beginning are adults now.
Mm-hmm. We've been watching it for 15 years.
I was an adult. Yeah, like I was an adult when I started. Up. Now I'm old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But even if you came into this young,
10 years old, you're 20. You're in your 25 20s right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah, at this point, Marvel, you need to recognize your audience that there are adults watching. And I would argue probably a majority of us are that are watching Marvel now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No.
Give me porn, Marvel. You know?
No. No. We're not, Clinton. That's a jump. We're not gonna.
Clinton,
do that.
That's a jump. I told you not to say my last name on the show, Brandon.
I swear on everything. It was not. It's just a word. It's like Brandon eat a burger. I'm not gonna be like.
Oh, so I'm just a word.
You're everything to me, Clinton.
Thank you, Mr. Burger.
So
it seems like Samuel Jackson is channeling his Pulp Fiction.
I agree.
Like, I can't get that out of my head.
No, I agree, especially at the shooting of the dick thing. As soon as he went into, like, I'm going to be bad cop.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Exactly.
And I agree. I immediately went to Pulp Fiction, but I immediately went to, like, smiling while it was happening. I was like, oh, this is Samuel L. Jackson just being himself in a great. I fucking love it. I love it because it doesn't feel as much of an act. And I don't think it ever does. I think he's a fantastic actor. But I feel like he's more in his niche, in where he is, like, oh, this niche. Is yeah, sorry, niche. But like, I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm like, oh, he's like, it's almost like watching somebody like on a skateboard, but then they start doing tricks, and I'm like, ah, yeah, like it's really cool.
And that's, I feel like, how we've seen Nick Fury for so long is that he's just been on the skateboard, like, even
riding really well. It's really cool to watch him.
Yeah, but man, he throws. To ascend the ranks, and he's trying to do this stuff, and then now he's to a point where he's like, "I'm gonna do some ollie whips and some
ollie
grinding,
whips?
And I don't fucking know what ollie skateboard whips. Things."
You could just say a kickflip, not ollie whips. But yeah,
is an ollie whip not a thing?
I don't.
Did I combine two things? Am I close at all?
I think you just watched Indiana Jones with the whips, and you said ollie, and you're like ollie whips. There you go. But that's okay. Cool.
Well,
watch it be a thing, and I'm gonna be wrong. Yeah.
Nick Fury, Molly Wops. That's a dance move. Nick Fury is finally having a chance to stand in the spotlight and do his.
But we also, I love that we can justify his actions as well. We can justify his actions at the end of his rope. He's being forced out and he's like, oh, even when I'm out, I'm in. That previous episode too. I love it's almost a desperate Fury, but still a badass Fury. And I like that a lot. And I think Samuel L. Jackson's performance halfway through fucking awesome. So we got to go through this. Is I'm gonna go straight to this, guys, and I'm sorry that I'm kind of jumping here, but Gaia is Ghana. I know, I'm sorry, but I mean, I'm kind of shocked because we've seen two major female leads now, with Maria Hill and Gaia both getting black black right in the middle of the show, or at the end of the show.
Usually,
I guess.
Bitches get stitches, but
no, they get shots.
Usually, snitches get stitches.
Yeah, but it rhymes with bitches, so it worked.
Okay, well.
But I am shocked because this is. I mean, I really expected, I'm not even trying to be funny, I expected Emilia Clarke to be someone in the MCU. Now, this could be a swerve, who knows, this show seems to like to do that to us. Don't dab, Clinton. God, please don't. don't act like you didn't just, what? You don't even act like you didn't just do that. But like, Emilia Clarke, I was thinking, oh, there's the future of the MCU. There's someone that's going to be around. That's a really good star power, and she's young, she's going to be, they killed her. They killed Gaia. Quick and what
Rabbit I love, killed guy
touche. And there's a part
on
where,
a gravel road.
Was it? I think you mean touch.
Guys, I hate you.
If I was Gravik, I would have like made sure. Like when I shot her, I wouldn't have went around her. I would have just over. You know what I mean?
You're so fucking horrible. No.
Like, if you want to make sure.
No.
Number one horror movie rule.
You just
shoot or stab them once.
Run them over with the car.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
We're going to pretend.
Can you imagine in this series?
No.
If it showed that?
We're going to pretend you didn't just say that, and we're going to move on. But there's a part.
It would have taken away the heaviness. Though,
you think, Clinton? You think it would have taken away? Did you just come to that fucking assumption all by yourself?
Like, I'm mean enough to shoot you, but I'm nice enough to not run over you. I just think when they like...
We know Clinton was a killer. He would be like, I'm going to run over this bitch too.
Like, if I shot you, I'm not going to worry about going around you.
Okay. We're going to move on. I don't know what you want me to say. No, good point, fair. Clinton. Is that what you want me to say?
I'm just saying, like, because part of me in this scene thought when she got shot, if I was a Skrull and I wasn't killed, mm-hmm. like if someone shot me, I think I would revert to my Skrull form on purpose. Mm-hmm. And while I'm laying there in pain.
So you think,
just so people thought I was dead and I would move on.
Since he didn't da-dunk her.
Yeah.
Do you think
don't drop that
do you think Gaia's still alive, Clinton?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I would love for her to be, because I feel like she could be. I mean, it's Emilia Clarke. She can carry a franchise.
She sure can. Yep.
And I wanted more out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she was playing both sides, and then it was like abrupt ending.
I didn't expect
her to die so quickly.
She was playing both sides really, really badly.
Yeah, Gravik even knew.
Amy, you're just sexist.
Yeah.
You don't like women.
Amy has always hated women. Ever since we started this podcast, she's been anti-women, and it's really annoying.
How very dare you. No, it has nothing to do with her gender. She just sucked at being a spy.
And I kind of liked, and no offense, Emmy, I kind of agree that it was becoming a little obvious that she was playing both sides. And Gravik calls her out, like, this episode. Even
in
before,
this episode, yeah.
Before he even, like, he was like, it's kind of odd that, you know, of these three people that were there, you know. And then I love the part where Emilia Clarke, you know, she goes, Gaia, she goes, no, you're going to look at me when you shoot me. And he doesn't hesitate, which makes Gravik such a son of a bitch even more.
Mm-hmm. She's in mid-sentence.
I was shocked.
She didn't even get her full sentence out.
Fucked up, man.
That's just how you do it. You know
but
what I mean?
Was,
like, shut up, Clinton. I'm starting to think you're a murderer and it's starting to creep me out.
But he was suspicious of her. Mm-hmm. He then got a phone call while they were in the car to go meet her dad. Mm-hmm. And he like says like the whole plot basically, which she then immediately texts to his dad or to her dad. And it's like, girl, you're bad at this. You're not good at this. Like, yeah, yes, you texted it from a burner phone. Fantastic. But you might be the only person with that information, and somebody's going to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
I have a full-fledged, crazy-ass theory.
Let's do it.
I watched this twice.
Can we call this Nick Theories?
No, okay. That doesn't work.
Okay, sorry, like Nick Fury. Nick Fury. Okay. I tried.
It was a good try.
Thank you.
It was a good try.
Oh, thanks, guys. All right, Emmy, what's your crazy ass theory?
Can we call it Emmy's Fury?
Sure. Yes. Emmy's Fury, because I do have that glowing inside of me at all times.
Glowing or raging?
Raging.
Yeah. I love like Emmy will go off on tangents to Clinton and I and like apologize 2 or 3 hours. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just really pissed off at this, this, and this. And it's so, Clinton and I just leave her on red. Like, it's okay.
Get it out, girl.
It's nice to get it out every once in a while.
We love you. Sometimes we just don't understand. And it's not okay.
It's also nice to get it in sometimes. Ooh, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
Maybe that's what I mean.
Yeah.
My DMs.
Yeah. Your DMs, is that the name of your
recruiter?
Yo,
well, I like to vet people before I let them in there.
What do you mean vet them?
Like, I like to make sure that they're good people.
Clinton just lets them slide on in. He's just like,
yeah,
it's I-75 up in Clinton's world. He's just like, yeah, come on.
Oh, you have a six pack? Come on over.
Oh, you ignored me for a day? Come on over.
Come on over.
Okay. So here's my big, huge, crazy theory. And I don't, I'm going to end this. I can't wait
to shoot this down.
I was thinking the same thing, but quietly, Clinton.
I can't wait to grab this down.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to end this.
Wouldn't it be Gaia this down?
There's, well, at this point, yes, it would be.
Okay.
And I do know that there's a big gaping hole in it.
Ain't that your middle name, Amy?
Big gaping hole?
Yeah.
No, that's what they used to call me in high school. Okay. When Talos and Gravik come out of the museum, Talos goes, bumps into the guy, gives him a cell phone, weird exchange, right? Didn't completely understand what that was about. But then he continues on towards the car that has Gaia. Mm-hmm. And then Gravik gets stopped by a white van, a pedophile van, if you will. Mm-hmm. He gets stopped. So he banged on the side. So you lose visual contact between Talos and Gaia. I did believe that Gaia and Talos switched places. So Talos was impersonating Gaia, and Gaia was impersonating Talos. Hear me out.
That's not a crazy theory.
It's not.
Gaia was standing outside of the car.
Exactly.
When
instead of in the driver's seat.
Yes, like she was when she sent the message.
Can they get Skrull memories? So can, because that would be the biggest question that I had for this theory.
Ooh,
because then Talos shows up in the pub eating an English breakfast, and he brings up a conversation that him and Fury had the day before.
But, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
The memories. But I was going to say mother, daughter, father, like they know each other. So
they
feel like they could impersonate each other very well.
Mm-hmm. But Talos has been absent a bit.
Right.
Okay, but here's some proof, okay? Whenever Nick Fury says something about Gaia, she's a brave girl to be giving you information, and then Talos, who I believe is Gaia, says, "Yeah, her mom was a great role model."
But that's, Talos already believes that.
Yeah, Talos is already. I don't think that's the Talos giveaway. I don't think that's the, oh, shit, that's it.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I like the theory, Amy. I do. Don't get me wrong.
It's not a bad theory.
Let's keep going.
I just don't think that's the red herring. That's the, oh, shit. But I like the theory. I do.
Okay.
I feel like Talos had. Sorry. Go ahead.
Talos had what?
Yeah, say it.
I said Talos had more balls to do what he did to Gravik than Gaia would have.
Ooh.
With the stabbing and that shit.
That was before. That was prior. That was before the switch. He walked out of that building and then switched with her.
Oh, you're saying post that.
Post that interaction. He walked out, knew his daughter was outside.
What would be the motive to do that?
Because he knew that he was going to need the nuclear codes from old Bob.
But he called and asked.
But he wasn't him. He was Gaia.
But I don't know if that's...
But Gaia's the one that found it out.
Yeah.
So I feel like that falls apart there. But that was Talos.
Where? How?
But Talos hasn't been in that, infiltrated that area. Gaia has. I feel like that breaks apart.
I don't know
bit.
He would know.
So that's where it falls apart, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For a split second, that's where it falls apart, is if they can't get each other's memories. Because if they can get each other's memories, then Gaia would know how to get into that. So Talos would also know if he's impersonating Gaia.
But didn't in Captain Marvel, they talk about Skrulls? They talked about they can get their short-term memories, not their long-term?
They're talking about humans, though. Skrull to human. They can get short-term memories, not long-term.
Skrull
to Skrull. Skrull to Skrull.
Yeah, but I would imagine it would be the same way, right?
I don't know.
So then it works, man. Also, so when she goes into that room, and they're like, "Officer Gaia, how can we help you?" And she's like, "Fuck you, fuck this bitch," and like fucks him up real quick. That I feel like that to me feels like a Talos move, not a Gaia move. When Talos is with the kid in Bob's house and gives him a sip of water, that to me feels like a Gaia move, not a Talos move. Like, here, this will calm your nerves. In my opinion.
I think that's a
some bullshit. Sink water is not calming anyone's
Yeah, mind. I was kind of confused by that. I'm like, did he stir something in there? And I'm just not, I didn't see it.
Did he put a value in it?
Yeah, I was really thinking, I'm not even kidding. My brain was like, I didn't see what he put in there. What did he put in there? Like, he's just like, here's tap water. That'll calm me the fuck down. I'm like, have you ever had tap water? I've never been like, oh, I need to calm down. Let me have some tap water.
Let me go get some chlorine water.
Yeah, I never have. Never going okay. to, probably.
But still, caring about the kid, I feel like, is Gaia personality.
It's an interesting theory. I mean, I feel like this is gonna
Gaia,
be
a, I'm not done with my I've got
how point. Long got is this point. Theory
it's a long theory. I think I'm right, man.
Okay,
until the very end. She understood, I mean Gaia, who is actually Talos, looked in those memories to find the password, which was Zachary, which is shitty, but understood the father kid relationship. And so I don't know that Gaia would have figured out that her name would have been her father's password, if that makes sense.
I disagree, because we're looking through records. It wasn't about the relationship. It was about what was the password and not. Second thing, too, when she gets shot and she turns into her Skrull form and not into another Skrull form, do you think they're impersonating getting shot and he impersonates her Skrull form at that point and doesn't think
that's where it falls apart. Okay. That's what falls apart
because
for me.
She got shot and turned into that form. She got Gaia'd. And like, I don't know. Because of that, I don't know. I feel like this is, but I do think there is going to be a Scooby-Doo moment where like, wait, how did we get here? Well, first I infiltrated this and then I was like this and then blah, blah, blah. And I would have gotten away to it. I think it's going to happen. I just don't know if this is it. So,
is it going to be Maria Hill or Gaia?
Mm-hmm. One more piece of evidence. And then I have a question.
But
for
I've
you
already
guys.
Shot it down. Does the evidence.
I know. I've kind of already shot it down too, because I know whenever she gets shot.
No offense. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just like, I don't know if this is even. But yeah, keep going. Sorry.
I know. But okay. But I've. The evidence to me, in my opinion,
if it works.
It the second time.
If it works.
Okay.
You just want Gaia to be alive.
I think so too. The final words that she has are, I want you to think, are you the leader of the Skrulls or are you our destruction? Or it's something like that. To me, that feels more like Talos's final words than Gaia's. And I know she turns into Gaia's.
But I feel
Gaia's
like you're going off
form.
Of feelings rather than facts. We don't know those two characters, especially Gaia, that much. You're just like,
facts don't care about your feelings.
Well, I just feel like you know it's what? Like, I feel that's like true. It's this, I feel like it's that. I think you're just making those conclusions. I don't think you have anything to base it off of. No offense. I'm just.
Yeah, kick her ass, Brandon.
Let her know.
Let her know.
I feel like Gaia or Talos could say that. I can't say it feels like this because I've seen one for one movie and one for three, for 2.5 episodes. So I don't know. I can't say for sure. This is like, if it was a Black Widow and Iron Man line. Yeah, probably could tell the difference, or an Iron Man, Captain America, whatever.
These someone two you've got to know for a while.
Yeah. These two characters, I feel like we're really reaching for every single, it feels like this, that feels like that based on what I think they would
feelings,
say this.
Man, feelings, and I'm stretching.
Okay. It's cool.
Oh, we got a good stretch.
Oh, that's our stretch. Oh, wow. That's our stretch, everybody. Oh. All right.
Can we talk about, sorry.
Yeah.
Are you done with your theory, Amy?
Well, I had a question, but it can wait.
Oh, yeah, you did. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you need me to write down what you were going to say so you don't lose it?
No, I think I remember.
Okay. Who is the real Emilia Clarke's character? So
I've wondered that too.
What just got shot was the Skrull version of Emilia Clarke's character.
Mm-hmm. Who is the person she impersonated?
Who's
really
the human?
Emilia Clarke. Oh,
and shit. I have to give credit to Eric from Ohio on Instagram, who messaged me.
Eric, hi, bud.
Yeah. Because I was like, that is a rabbit hole that I would love to dive into. And
I don't know, but I hope it's someone important, because I'd like to see.
Exactly.
I'd like to see her more in the MCU.
Because if my theory is not correct, then
I still bring her around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
Because once they rescue these people that are trapped in this mind thing by the Skrulls, then, I mean, possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to talk about the conversation that Talos and Fury had in the van on the way to old dude's house, whatever his name is.
Bob.
Bob.
Which actually, I'm not good with names, but I think it's Robert Fairbanks.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I just want to talk about how weird Fury brings up what he says to Talos about, I don't know, what does he say exactly that triggers Talos to go on that tangent? It's something like protecting you or
he's essentially like, if I wasn't protecting your ass for all this time, yeah, or, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah, cleaning up the shit after you,
yeah,
it was that dog conversation.
It was the dog conversation. Great point, Amy.
I've been cleaning up your shit.
It's like,
after
you've been cleaning up after me. You've been cleaning up after me. And also, and Talos, yeah, and Talos even says, I'm the reason why, like, you got where you're at. He's like, don't get me wrong, Nick Fury, you're good, but you got where you're at because of us. It was like, holy shit, there
and
was a lot
of I want to talk about. Yeah. So we have seen Fury in the spotlight since the beginning. He's been in Marvel since the beginning.
Yeah.
So this really implicates, we know it because of Captain Marvel, but this really implicates how much a stronghold Skrulls have had the MCU from the beginning.
Yep.
And I think this was such a clever way
to
bring that idea into this when Talos goes off and says, I did this for you. You wouldn't be where you're at. We carried out the missions. Like, we, hold on. We're the ones that did all these things for you.
No.
So it really heavily implicates that Skrulls have been around for a long time, and they've had their hand in a lot of things for a long time.
I love that point, Clinton, because we see Nick Fury from the very first Iron Man and how important he is. And if you are implicating the man that was behind the Avengers initiative to getting where he needs to be, it does have major implications. It does have major, oh, well, this is really what's happening. I think that is also a really important take, because Fury's like, no, I've been cleaning up your shit. And Talos is, no, we've been putting you where you need to be. And I think somewhere in the middle is the truth there. I think Skrulls have put him in a position where he can, but I also think Fury is just that guy. He can. Right. And I think there is, I think it's when you're angry, you know, I see my side and not yours. I do think there's a bit of both, but I love that point you just made. There are some major implications there where the Skrulls have been pulling a lot of strings. And obviously we've seen it
the entire time we've been watching the
entire
MCU,
time.
And I think it's such a clever way for Marvel, because the Skrulls in the comics, that's kind of their thing. Like they have been around the whole time. You find out some Avengers were Skrulls, but like
they've been pulling strings.
It's not even a retcon, but it's a clever way, since we're doing Skrulls now, to be like, they've been around the whole time. To this dialogue here just really shows that the MCU that viewers have been watching the whole time, Skrulls have been involved in that entire thing.
And
it was such a smart, subtle way to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I love that, Clinton. I'm going to bring up the topic that we've talked about last episode, and I said Rhodey's not a Skrull, and you two said Rhodey is a Skrull. I have to admit, after this episode, it's a little bit harder to stand where I stand, but a part of me still feels it, and I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it, but there's a phone call between Rhodey and Fury's wife. Forgive me. What's her name? I'm so sorry.
It's Vara, or Priscilla.
Okay, Vara. We're going to say Vara.
Okay.
There's a conversation, and at the end, we hear it is Rhodey's voice. It is Don Cheadle's voice. We know this is Rhodey's voice. To me, that's not disputable, in my opinion. I think it's 100% Cheadle's voice. However,
did y'all watch, like, when you watched it, you thought that?
It says man on the phone in the closed captions.
Yes.
But it is fucking Rhodey.
I can hear Don Cheadle's voice. I have closed captions on when I watch the show, just because I especially
am old.
Sometimes Grovik mumbles and I like to have the closed captions on so I can read what he's saying, truthfully. But I didn't even look at the closed captions. I was just listening to the phone conversation, and I never saw a man on the phone. I just thought, oh, okay, it's Rhodey. You know, I didn't even know it said man on the phone until Clinton just said that. Amy, you didn't hear it. You didn't hear Rhodey.
No, I watched everything with subtitles, and maybe that's what threw me off on this, was that it did say man on the phone. I watched it twice. Like I said, neither time did I think it was Rhodey. It was, I saw something on Twitter that made me second guess myself. And then I did go back and watch just that part again.
Did the thing on Twitter say it's Rhodey?
Yeah, well, suggested it was Rhodey.
I think it's Rhodey.
100% this is Rhodey.
Especially with the attitude he's given this episode, yes, this series, that with like snippy, yeah, like,
and the,
well, I'm the man now.
Yeah, and she says something like, I need to talk to Gravik. And he's like, well, you're dealing with me.
Yeah, it just, I could tell the voice and the way he interjected himself there. It just felt like how he was talking to Fury.
Yeah.
It makes sense now that I know it, but I didn't. I had to know it before I heard it.
Really? And there's no way he's not a Skrull if it's not.
I agree.
Because Rhodey would not side with Gravik. If it's not a Skrull, like if it's Rhodey,
mm-hmm,
he would not side with Gravik.
Do you think Rhodey's being held captive somewhere and someone's impersonating him?
No.
So you think Rhodey's been a Skrull the whole time?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, that's what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's got to. Oh, okay, no, so I think
he's Rhodey a Skrull in this conversation. I think in this series he's a Skrull. But are you asking what point did he get captured? Is he captured?
Is the question?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I can't believe. He's
I feel
been
like
a
he would be captured because I feel like his personality shifted so much. It feels like there was a point he was captured, mm-hmm, and taken over by a Skrull because he didn't act like this before.
You're talking about just in this series, though.
No, I'm talking about in the MCU. Period.
But
at what point would you say at what point would you say he was captured? His demeanor changed.
This series has shown that. Yeah. I don't know, thinking before.
Because he got injured in Civil War.
He got freaking injured in Civil War.
He relies on...
not in this series, you don't.
Well,
those leg
the
things?
Only unless reason,
he had a full healing.
Honestly, if there was not Armor Wars coming out very, very soon, I would genuinely say Rhodey's been the Skrull the whole time. Here we go. Here's the reveal. But because of Armor Wars coming out, you can't have a Rhodey Skrull. So it means we're going to have Rhodey again. A real Rhodey. So that means this person, and is it going to be the big reveal if it's someone that is like, he's been a Skrull, but for like 3 movies or 2 movies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be as impactful as we're thinking? And so my thing is, if he is a Skrull, which it's hard to disagree right now, is it really Rhodey or is it someone else just pretending? Because we've seen that with Emilia Clarke. We just had that conversation. And so are we going to get the real Rhodey back in time for Armor Wars, you know, even Captain America New World, Brave New World
now. I got
something
too, Amy. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't think that Rhodey up to Endgame could be a Skrull. In Endgame, we see Rhodey. We see him give a middle finger to it was Thunderbolt Ross, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who was in hologram form.
That's a court martial. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was Endgame, right?
No, that was Infinity War.
Infinity War. Either way, like, I don't think that Rhodey is the same Rhodey that we're seeing now. If that gives any context to anything.
So from Infinity War to now, which is several years, obviously 5
because
with
the blip. Because of the blip, too.
Yeah. Something had to change. And he obviously, we saw him in Endgame reporting back to Black Widow that he was, you know, but then he lands in Endgame. What's up, regular size man? That just feels like Rhodey to me when he's talking to Ant-Man. Like, I don't know. I would even go as far as to say Endgame Rhodey was the same Rhodey.
They get their memories. So if you were playing the long game, which is what Skrulls are doing,
yeah,
this is just a theory and it's probably 100% dog shit and not real. But it would be wild if Armor Wars was about Rhodey waking up to whatever point he was put under and a Skrull took his form and him having to deal with getting the inheritance of Stark and how that plays out when he's new to this all.
Oh,
of what's happened.
Shit. Oh,
because
shit.
They went from making it a show to a movie. So that means they want a big production.
I think that would
be. Are you talking about Armor Wars?
Mm-hmm. But it would be a cool thing to see.
Show to a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a show originally. It was announced as a show, and they changed it to a full-fledged movie production. But that would be wild for it to be from the point of view of Rhodey fresh, mm-hmm. with not a lot knowing of what had happened.
What did Rhodey do in Endgame? Because I know he went back in time with everybody, didn't he?
He went back in time. He was with Nebula during their mission. And he was with the one
Nebula.
That... Yeah. You don't, Emmy, we're not going to recap Endgame. Go watch Endgame again.
I know. I will. Help me remember a little bit.
I did. He went back to Endgame and they went back to where Star-Lord retrieved. Remember when at the very beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy, when he's listening and he's singing into the little alien?
And he goes, remember? Yeah.
And then, he's like, this is the guy. Like,
this is the dude.
Yeah, exactly. And then he returns.
And that's when
he had a bunch of Back to the Future memes, and he did the Thanos when he was like, why don't we just grab Thanos as a baby? And Bruce Banner goes, first off, that's disgusting or that's sick, you know? So Rhodey felt like Rhodey the entire Endgame movie for me.
But I was trying to figure out where Rhodey went to retrieve the tie or the stones.
Yeah.
Like when they all kind of like disappeared across the galaxy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he went with Nebula and Natasha and Hawkeye, and they
branched off. Yeah. They went to Vormir while he went. Yeah. Sorry.
The threat of Thanos was a threat to the human race and everyone in the universe. Mm-hmm. So I feel like as a Skrull, it would be easily played out because you have the same enemy.
I get it.
But that Rhodey seems more laid back and kind of like this dumbass.
I just think it'd be a fun idea.
I think this series
shifted somewhere mm-hmm. right before this.
I can believe his
attitude's very different.
My fear is because of that, is it going to be as impactful? It wouldn't feel, because it doesn't have any implications of the MCU movies we've seen before, if that's the case. So it's like, oh, the only Rhodey that we've seen is the Rhodey for one episode.
But we're also judging Rhodey based on his relationship with Nick Fury.
That's true.
He has been consistent in all the movies about upholding government and
that
kind of
thing. Infinity War.
No, he hasn't.
In Infinity War, he said, fuck off, right off to him.
And Iron Man 2, you're welcome.
Yeah, he said, fuck
he's,
right
he's
off.
He's like, I'm taking all of this out of context.
I disagree. He has not been that.
What do you mean, Iron Man 2? That's when he turns on Tony about how the government should have control of his shit.
He doesn't. It's not that he turns on
Tony. They have a fight over it.
That's because Tony goes a little nuts.
DJ AM's doing the music in the background because it was such a good movie.
But in that first scene.
But
in that first scene. When he's like, this is my report to the government about the Iron Man technology.
If we want to go back, we can go to Iron Man 1 during the test sequence. And he literally says, because of Tony doing the flight simulation, and he goes, we had a test flight, you know, and an unfortunate training exercise happened.
Oh, yeah.
So he covers up for Tony then.
But that's for his friend Tony.
I understand.
But he's been still loyal to the government. In Iron Man 2, he steals
Iron Man 2,
armor.
You have the biggest argument. In Iron Man 2,
Iron Man 3. He makes an Iron Patriot.
But Infinity War, he gets a court martial.
But I have more movies that are arguing against him.
It's not more. You can't say he's been that way the whole time.
He turns around in Iron Man 3. In Iron Man 3, he turns around.
Because he's getting controlled.
God,
he has been loyal like that.
Not all the time, though.
Not all the time, but only with Tony is it different.
No.
Oh my God.
Captain America, Falcon, and Black Widow, he got a court martial for. Tony was nowhere around during that part.
But Tony was alive. He was around.
But you said only for Tony. He did not do that for Tony. He did that for Cap and his group. So I'm just saying he's not 100% loyal to the government. We've seen that.
But it's mixed bag.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which makes this even more interesting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's where my brain is fucked.
So why are we arguing?
I completely agree with that.
No, I really love how we just connected it back to the first fucking movie in the MCU.
This is blowing my fucking mind, dude.
It's crazy. And we connected it back to what
Mephisto confirmed.
It's the worst MCU movie.
We wanted this.
they're going to throw us because I feel like he's obviously a Skrull. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels obvious. So I feel like maybe he's not.
That's why I don't think he is. I feel like it's too on the nose.
It is. I like this show.
I think he is. I think his personality has changed, and I think definitely he is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's the big reveal, though.
We haven't seen his interaction with Fury before, like on this level. So this might just be how he feels with Fury.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, he's a rude motherfucker. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Guys, what a show. Holy fuck.
I have a final question. I have a question. If we're trying to wrap up, I do want to know what you guys think.
Yes, what's your final question?
1 hour, St. James Church. What is Vara about to be asked to do by Rhodey, or if it's not, it is Rhodey, I feel like.
What did he say about Grovik in particular?
She said, I need to talk to Grovik. And he said, basically, too bad, you're talking to me.
Yeah, I'm your Grovik, basically. Right.
Does
now.
He want yeah. to kill Grovik?
No.
Why is that so far-fetched?
Well, that's a spicy meatball.
Why would he...
Because World War III is going to happen if Grovik continues to get his way.
But if she's calling Grovik, how does he answer?
He's fucking.
She wasn't.
Rhodey.
No.
Okay.
She wasn't calling anybody. It was her phone vibrated. She took the key out of the boss to go to the bank to get the safety deposit box.
Mm-hmm. So she got a call. She didn't call anybody.
Correct. Hmm. Her phone vibrated again. She answered it when she was with her safety deposit box.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
and it was Rhodey, not Grovik.
And it could be Rhodey saying, hey, fuck Grovik, we're going to take his ass out.
Because he says, St. James Church, 1 hour.
But Rhodey is aware of Grovik, obviously.
Yeah.
See, yeah, he wasn't like Grovik, who?
Deepens the plot. It's like, is he for him or against him?
It's so good.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, it's so good. I love this show so much.
It's great. That's why I like it. It keeps you mentally stimulated.
This is like the most, this is the most like rabbit trails and rabbit holes we've gone down since WandaVision.
Since WandaVision. All right. 100%. Oh my God. I just thought of one.
Okay.
What if
Mephisto? Rhodey? Mephisto. Rhodey's Mephisto.
What if Rhodey and Grovik are the same Skrull?
We haven't seen him in the same place at the same time.
We have not.
Are we just reaching?
What if Grovik is Spider-Man? We haven't seen him in the same place at the same
time. Stop it. Listen, I'm going to throw out a wild theory at some point, probably in like 45 years.
And it's going to be right, but not this time, I don't think.
It's going to be right.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't.
Grovik and Rhodey couldn't be the same person.
No, I don't think so.
Or the same Skrull.
No.
Mm.
Okay. Guys, we're going to get to some thoughts from our friend. We're gonna play some thoughts from our friend Keith. Keith, what were your thoughts? This is his caption. What the fuck is going on?
Rhodey,
episode 3.
Rhodey,
we're getting down to the nitty gritty now. It's time for some mood lighting. I have no idea what's going on. I can truly say that I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going on. There's a few things that I'm pretty sure about, but the rest, who the fuck knows? One thing I'm sure about, Gaia's not dead. Gaia just finished saying earlier in the episode that she's a good liar. She knows that when a Skrull dies from a gun wound, they're going to turn back into their green Skrull form.
What I brought up.
She's dead? No. Do I think that she got shot? Hell yes.
Turn yourself.
Not sure. She did insist on facing him front ways. Fingers crossed that she pulled some kind of fast one. I love that we got a little taste of Extremis with his hand healing itself in the restaurant, knowing that he's already done the experiment on himself and he didn't blow up. It's probably a good sign when you're dealing with something like Extremis. I have no idea what's going on with his wife. I don't want his wife to be working against him. When I say I don't know what's going on in the series, it's mainly that thread line, that storyline. I don't know what Scylla is doing. I understood very well, very easily why she felt so scorned when they had been together for 20 plus years, and then he's gone for this just unknown amount of time. I know there's some marriages that work that way. I know that there's some marriages that signed up for that kind of thing with an absent partner a lot, but you know, it would hurt.
It's going to strain.
Clearly, she would benefit from his counsel if she's feeling further and further scorned by his neglect, not only as his wife, but also to the Skrulls. There was some moments, especially with Gaia, that I was sitting there going, wait, what? You're going to immediately text? He just told you he was suspicious of you. Now you're going on a car ride with just him. He's going to have a conversation in front of you on the phone and give out just this Thank much you. Information. And you're going to relay you. That information Thank to you. Somebody. He's baiting you. He's testing you and you're falling for it. But whatever, yep. She ends up being shot at the end of the episode and we'll see where it goes from here. I assume that Gaia is not actually dead because you don't get Emilia Clarke and then kill her off in that early of a episode. The only reason I could think that they're doing this and making us think that she's dead is because Talos will then think that she's dead and Talos will go off the rails even further than this reckless motherfucker has been going this whole season. I have no clue where this is going. I have no idea what's going to happen next. I see people wondering why she keeps the gun in the safety deposit box. I don't think it's that she keeps the gun there. I think that someone is communicating someone ordered to this. Her through yeah. leaving her thing
I agree.
In the safety deposit box. At the same time, I'm theorizing and I'm thinking, okay, she knew Gravik when he was young. Maybe she's just trying to keep tabs on Gravik and make it so that she's able to know which one's going to strike first and maybe protect Nick in that way.
Makes sense.
I don't know, but it did seem like she was shocked that the gun was there. So clearly someone has left her that maybe for her own protection or to kind of signify that, hey, if none of us get the chance, you are very close to Fury. And if you have to finish the job, I truly don't want to know what's going to happen next. And I'm glad I avoided some spoilers. I'm glad I avoided some later trailers. I don't want to know what's going to happen next. And at this point, I have no clue what's going to happen next. And that makes for good anything, but specifically good MCU.
That's awesome. We got a part two here, but I want to pause there before part two. We don't know what's going to happen, and that makes for a good MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Such a small but fucking wonderful statement there by Keith, because I think that's where the three of us have been just throwing shit at each other this entire episode. But we don't know at the end of the day. And we're only halfway there. We have three more episodes, which is fucking wonderful.
We're living on a prayer.
Okay. God, Clinton.
What?
Stop, guys. I hate you so much. Just stop. Anyway, here's part two.
I use guardians to lower my
Ben
A1C.
Mendelsohn, the Bendelsohn, the short king himself, is acting his ass off in this series. Does he mumble a little bit? Is it hard to understand him sometimes? Yes, that's why I put the subtitles on. The way he delivers his lines, the energy that he serves in a scene, holy shit.
Wonderful.
This guy is a tour de force. And him and Nick Fury having this kind of they bicker like a married couple, which I find incredibly endearing, and I love how many scenes we get with them. Even if this episode did feel like a filler episode at times to get to that big finale three, it's okay. We're past the hump, and I think that as far as filler episodes go, we still got a lot in this episode.
Yes.
Talos is spiraling in this episode. He is spiraling hard. He's reckless. Him stabbing Gravik in the hand, any mention of his daughter is setting him off. He may have gotten his daughter killed in this episode. You know that's what he was thinking when he was very reluctant to call her and ask her for that last-ditch effort to get the code at the end. I'm glad that he had that defining moment where he demanded that Nick ask for his help because he's useless without him, and admit that he's useless without him. And they had that huge reveal scene in the car afterwards about how, you know, everything that Fury has, he owes to Talos's Skrulls. And he's not wrong, in my opinion, because that would create a lot of advantage when you have a secret team of 20 Skrulls who can look like anybody fishing up dirt and getting those wins. I think he does owe them everything. 100%. I keep coming back to Talos, to be honest with you. He is serving so much in this series. I loved the line about, don't tell me that you're going to rewrite history when you're talking to the guy who wrote it with you the first time. That was awesome. I just really love the dynamic that we're getting with Nick Fury and Talos as partners. It feels very Lethal Weapon-y. And I know what you're going to say. It's not because Ben Mendelsohn is Australian and short. It's because Samuel Jackson's old and black. No, it's neither of those. It feels like a buddy cop dynamic, and they're bickering all the time, and that is very exciting. And it's also fun to see them get along because of how much they bicker. Is anybody else getting slightly more attracted to Bendelsohn throughout this. Talos is serving so much like chaotic short king energy. And he doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about living or dying. He doesn't care about being reckless in a room full of Gravik's men. He doesn't even care if you understand what he's saying half the time. He is just exuding star quality. And I'm just very happy that Talos is played by such an awesome actor.
So I can tell you, I have not been attracted to him before the series started. And after three episodes, still not attracted. No.
Same, Brandon.
Okay, Emmy was a yes, though, in the middle of it. She's like, yes. She was like...
Yeah, and I'm not sure why people call him a short king.
I'm proud of him for being a badass, but it doesn't amp up the penal gauge.
Is that... When you're looking at a potential suitor, you're like, penal gauge.
Penile gauge. How you what feeling number? Down there, buddy?
Nope. What number right. are you on the penile gauge?
What's no, the scale? Is it like 1 to 7 or is it like what? How do you have
if a? We're going by inches. It's 1 to 10.
So what you actually mean is like 1 to 4?
Yeah. 1 to 3. I've got a low, medium, and high. 1 to 3.
But no, he. I feel like he. He's been pretty like badass in the series, and I don't not see it. Like I can't just turn a blind eye to it, you know. Like I mean, like is he the first one that I'd bang out of the series? No, but
the bussy kettle ain't steaming.
But like, is it steaming for? Okay, because I think the first person out of this entire series that I would bang would be Amelia Clark.
Same 100% of me. But he's 5'11.
Well, yeah, but you're straight.
But he's 5'11. He's not even a short king. He's fucking 5'11. I don't know.
5'11. How is that short?
That's me. I'm 5'11.
Oh. Why are you guys calling him short?
I don't think he's that short. Keith, we need answers. Next week, tell us why you called him a short king. We need to know. So, Keith's like 7'4". We just never knew it. All right.
Maybe he's just short, like, next to Samuel L. Jackson, who's probably, I don't know. 7'12".
Guys, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I made a joke.
I know. I'm sorry, Amy. I should have let it breathe for a second, but Clint wasn't laughing, and I was ready to move on, so it's... Clint just looked at you with the most deadpan, like, no, I really was. So, guys, thank you.
He was 7'12".
Yeah, that's 8 feet. We got it. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
We're not laughing about it. So,
you know what we are laughing at? We had a great time. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Avengers Podcast. We are going to be back Friday evening. If you're on the Eastern Coast, we are going to be reviewing Asteroid City. It's going to be Emmy, Keith, and I reviewing that real quick. We've invited Clinton, but he gave us the middle finger. And that's...
First of all, we are recording this podcast on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Clinton learned about the Friday recording of Asteroid City on Wednesday.
Yeah, you got 2 days.
On Monday when Brandon sent it out.
I said, do you want to be on the Asteroid City? And you said no. I asked you originally, and you said no.
I have 1 day.
Okay. Anyway,
it's late on a Wednesday. So
thank you for joining us.
I have Thursday to get it watched, but also I have to work
on a Saturday.
Thank you so much
for joining us. And then work Friday.
All right. So thank you. Yeah. All right. I muted him. This is great. I have the ability. I can mute him anytime. It's great. So so thank you for joining us. I can tell you're pissed. Thank you for joining us on the Avengers Podcast. We'll be back this Friday evening for Asteroid City review.
But you and Emmy.
2 out of 3 of us and will Keith. Be back, and Keith. But thank you for joining us for Secret Invasion. If you liked this episode, you thought it was funny or informative, or you loved our crazy theories, or hey, you just want to be a nice person. 5-star ratings on your podcast platform of choice really does go a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show. A few of you have left us 5-star reviews. It's been really, really sweet. The written ones on Apple Podcasts, we're seeing some of us. You're actually telling us what you think of the episode on Spotify, which is really cool. We do read all those comments, by the way. So we'd love to keep hearing from you. 5-star ratings on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your podcast platform. Thank you. It goes a long way. It's a really quick, free way to support the show. And it really does get eyes and ears on this podcast. If you want to support the show monetarily, if you want to keep our lights on, we have a group of patrons that do so. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. $1 gets you a shout out. $3 gets you a shout out and access to our Discord. And $5 gets you all that, a special bonus episode once a month, and you get extended episodes every single week. So $5 is probably the most bang for your buck, but $1, $3, $5, it really does help our show. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have a website, AvengersPodcast.com. We have merch on our website. You can get a hat with our logo on it. You can get a shirt, hoodie. I know it's kind of warm for a hoodie. We just had the hottest day ever on July 4th. Happy birthday, America. And we also, yeah.
And my sister, Kelly.
Hey, Sister Kelly. We love you.
Yeah, it was her birthday too. Happy 31st.
That didn't make sense, but we're going to keep moving.
Happy
31st. Happy 41st. Hope you had a good one. But yeah, guys, AvengersPodcast.com. You can also find our P.O. Box information on our website. A lot of people will write us on our website, give us little comments. We really, really appreciate that. What's our P.O. Box, Emmy, if anyone wants to send us mail?
Oh, we are P.O. Box 5661 Knoxville, Tennessee 37928. And she dusty.
Okay. When she says she dusty, means she hasn't gotten something inserted in her in a while. So if you can insert a package into our mailbox, we would really like
or a letter. Write me a letter, please.
Okay.
Or a check.
We're going to check.
Sugar daddy, so please apply. Highest dollar amount.
All right. We're heading
I'll
on.
Show you my nipple.
We're not that kind of podcast, Clinton. But we're heading
on. You're not that kind of podcast.
Yes. Language matters.
I'm my own LLC, baby.
All right. Clinton's Nipples LLC is what you can find. All that good stuff. Guys, we're heading on out of here. But before we do, we have a credits name to get to. Emmy, whose credits name did we write down this week? I'm a little scared to ask.
All right. So we have our staff writer. This is in Captain Marvel. This is the bad guys against the Skrulls. It's Matt McCree.
The Kree.
Oh, the war between the Skrulls and the Kree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You should have said the war between the Skrulls and the Matt McCree.
Yep, between the war between the Skrulls and the Matt McCree. Our staff writer. I need to rethink things in my life.
I think you should.
Those are great, Emmy.
You guys both agreed.
We agreed.
And then talked over each other over what I need to improve in my life. Cool. Yep. Love that for me.
Guys, thank you for joining us for episode 3 of the Secret Invasion reviews. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Or could you say episode Matt McCree?
God, it just gets worse. It doesn't get better.
It doesn't, but I try.
Guys,
some jokes don't work planned.
They don't. Guys, we're heading on out of here.
Once you Matt McCree's nuts in your
face. Oh, it's getting even worse. It's getting worse.
No fighting in the house.
She's turning on her cats because that's how she deflects.
If we don't laugh at her joke, she lashes out on her cats.
Quit fighting. My jokes are funny.
They were trying to fight each other. There's no fighting in the house.
You know, like Tonks was like, that wasn't funny. And Mr. Ferrell was like, no, it was. And then they just started slapping each other afterwards.
Because, hey, listen, Mr. Ferrell is a big, dumb, fluffy idiot. And I love him so much. But he's so dumb.
He's a little dumb. Guys, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. We appreciate it. Clinton, Emmy, any final words before we head on out of here?
I love you guys. Thank you for listening. Clinton out.
You messed with the Gloctopus. Nope.
What?
You mess with the octopus, you get the Gloctopus.